I have a friend who lives here in Cleveland, Tennessee, that did not grow up in Cleveland, Tennessee. As a matter of fact, he grew up in communist China. His name is Hong Ying. Some of you might have met Dr. Hong Ying before. You will be hearing from him. He's about to teach a course for ISO, so you'll be hearing from him at some point in time. Hong Ying grew up in communist China, and like all Chinese children in his region, they tested them around the age of 11 and 12, started testing at 8, to determine what career choice they would create for him. He did not get a choice as to what career he would have. The government chose his career path. Now, Hong Ying is extremely intelligent. And because he scored so high on intelligence or intellectually, and he has a photographic memory, because they discovered that as a child, they marked him to work in the government and to rise to power and be one of their Western ambassadors. So the Chinese government began training him from the time that he was a little boy into a career that he would not be able to choose for himself. Now, as a part of this training, they told him, we want you to learn as much as you can about the Western world, which, as you know, is us in Canada and this part of the earth. We want you to learn as much as you can learn about them. So he began to research, and he had a photographic memory, and began to learn all he could about the Western world. He goes into a Chinese library to read, and he's read most of the things he can read about the Western world, and then he finds a section that is in the back of the library behind, as he describes, a locked area, and he goes in there to see if there's anything back there for the Western world. He happens to come across a section called Western Pornographic Literature. Now, this wasn't pictures, this was literature. And because he's trying to learn everything he can about the Western world, he chooses one of the books marked Western Pornographic Literature, and that book was called The Holy Bible. It's the only one in the whole library cataloged that way, and so this young communist young man with his eyes upon government reads and memorizes most of the Bible as he reads it. He had never heard a preacher, never heard a prayer, never been to church, never heard a Christian song, never seen a Bible in his life or a page of it, never even knew the name Jesus, except in Western literature. He tells the story, and I'll have him to come some Tuesday night and tell it to himself because no one can tell it like him. You think Perry talks fast. You wait till you hear Dr. Hong Yang. You can barely keep up. He's on fast forward the whole time. By the time he finishes reading this book called The Holy Bible, he doesn't understand how to do it. But based upon the stories he read, he said, Jesus, if you are real, I want you to come into my heart. And right there in a communist library, he said he felt joy that came over him because he had just read the Bible and felt transformed by the reading of God's Word. The Word of God was activated inside of him. So to further his studies, the communist government agreed to approve and pay for his further education in the West. So he enrolled in a place that they thought was the School of Technology, but it was the Pentecostal School of Theology in Cleveland, Tennessee. And the Chinese government paid for his training because they thought he was enrolling in the Pentecost, didn't know what that meant, some kind of school of technology in the Western world. So he moves to Cleveland, Tennessee, starts going to the Pentecostal Theological Seminary, and becomes a gospel preacher. He ended up getting his citizenship here, married a girl from China who is also a professor here as well, as brilliant as he is. He now speaks five languages. He is a teacher in several colleges, including the Pentecostal Theological Seminary and Lee University. Not only that, he can also teach in multiple languages, not just Chinese. He is as proficient in Spanish as he is Chinese. By the way, as I told you, he'll be teaching an ISO course very soon. This man's life was changed from one thing. He read a living book for the first time. Not a book of facts, a book that has DNA. He read a book that is alive. And when he got the words of that living book inside of him, something transformed without ever going to a VBS or a Sunday school or even reading a gospel tract. His life was radically transformed from this. Now, former generations before Facebook and smartphones and satellite TV. I'm dating myself and many of you when I tell you when I was in high school, there was no such thing as an internet. Okay, let's go on. When I was in college, there was no such thing as an internet. It wasn't invented yet. As a matter of fact, neither was there a smartphone. I remember the first time I heard about a guy with a mobile phone. He was on a golf course, and they said, "That guy over there has a mobile phone." I said, "Well, how do they get the cord out here?" They said, "No, it don't work that way. It works from a battery pack." I got a closer look. He had a battery pack on that looked like, some of you have seen these before, it looked like a big backpack. It was huge. And the phone was about that tall and had a 4-foot antenna on it. Big old rubber antenna. Anybody remember those? That was his mobile phone. He was the coolest guy on the golf course. We've come a long ways, baby. Yes, we have. Former generations didn't have any of that. So you know what they did? They sat around and talked about the Bible. I mean, that happened in my lifetime. That happened in many of your lifetimes. If you grew up in church, most of the conversations you heard the saints talking about was the Word of God. Something they had read, something they had heard, inspired by a sermon they had just heard. I mean, the advice they were getting from the Bible. Did you know how much advice there is in the Bible? Do you know that just the book of Proverbs alone, which has 31 chapters, which means if you read one chapter a day, you can read the book of Proverbs every single month by reading one chapter a day. That one book gives instructions for raising children, dating, sex, money, investment, handling a dispute, prioritizing your life, and so much more. Even talks about how to handle a mother-in-law in the book of Proverbs. Now, how many books are you going to get on that? That's the book of Proverbs alone. They read the Bible constantly. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say this to them. If you read 3 chapters a day, you will read the entire Bible in 1 year. Now, those of you that didn't say it, turn to your other neighbor. If you're sitting by yourself, say it to yourself. If you read 3 chapters a day, you will read the entire Bible in 1 year. How long does that take, Dr. B? 15 minutes out of your day. If you've got 15 minutes to read the Bible, you can read the entire Bible every single year. It's just discipline, not that hard. And how about those parts I don't understand? Read it anyway, because one of these days you'll connect all those dots. Even read the begets and who got land and who didn't get land. Even read all of that, all the disputes and all the wars and all the things that, all the Levitical codes and all the, if the house gets something green growing on the wall, go in and say this and don't live in it for 7. I mean, all that stuff's in there. Just read it, and one of these days, God will start connecting the dots, and it'll start making sense for the very first time. I mean, their houses got leprosy back then. That's what they said in the Bible. Did you know a house could get leprosy? I mean, not in our day, but in their day, the house could get leprosy. And the Bible tells you what to do about that. Where are you going to find that someplace else? So in the past, the church talked about the Bible. We lived in the Bible. As a matter of fact, some of you may remember the days when you never went to church without a Bible. Now, this is not to make anybody feel guilty. Because I use an electronic Bible and I asked Clay to go by my office and pick up my old preaching Bible so I'd have one tonight so I could illustrate this sermon to you, all right? Because I do carry my Bible. As a matter of fact, I have about 10 versions of the Bible right here. But there was a day that people sat around and talked about the Bible. As a matter of fact, when my family would go to church on Sunday, the last thing my mother would say as we walked out the door is, "Does everybody have your Bible?" You might have heard that before. Does everybody have your Bible? It was like we're not supposed to go to church without a Bible. It was like the book we're going to discuss, and you're going to need it. How many of you remember that? How many remember those days where, does anybody grow up in the charismatic movement? Now, we pastored in St. Louis, so St. Louis is a long ways from the Southern Pentecostal movement. Now, we love that, and we were in the Church of God, so we got that. But we were up in the Midwest where a lot of the charismatic movement went on. And I tell you, the charismatic people, especially the Word of Faith people, when they come to church, they'll bring a family Bible, and they'll bring a three-ring binder about that thick, and they need a whole desk in front of them. I mean, they'll spread so many things out. Have you ever seen people on that? Oh, we had one lady that had at least 50 colors in her highlighter. And she would highlight the whole thing and sit on the edge of their seat. You didn't get many amens because they were riding too fast to say amen. But I mean, they were just like taking in everything you said because they were wanting to learn because they believed what I believe, that there is power in the Word of God. It is more than an entertainment. It is more than a cute little sermonette with a couple of nice illustrations and a joke at the beginning. There's a lot more to preaching than that. The Word of God can set you free. The Word of God can change your life like nothing else can change your life.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
My dad was a pastor, and I remember the evangelists that would come to our house, and they didn't stay in hotels in that day. My brother and I gave up our bedroom. They stayed in our bedroom. We slept on the couch. And every night after church, they'd sit around our little kitchen table, and all they would do is tell stories about this healing that happened at this church and this preacher that preached this sermon. And as a kid, we would just sit around and listen because the stories were so fascinating. And my dad didn't believe in TV for a lot of that time, so that wasn't even an option. So we would just sit around and listen to all of these stories about what God had did. You're talking about making you salivate? I just said, I want to be in that. I want to see that. That's the kind of God that I want to serve. I don't want to just talk about him. I want to see him move. I want to feel his presence. We used to say, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. I wanted him to pass by, and I want to reach out and touch him as he passed by. That was my heart's desire. That's what I long for. And it's all because I grew up in this environment of the Word of God in my elementary school, which has been a minute. Some of you too, so I see all the smiles in the room. In my elementary school, the Gideons came around every year, and you know how you earned a new Bible from the Gideons? You got up in front of your class and quoted a Bible verse. Your teacher would say next, and almost everybody in the class would get up and quote a Bible verse. Even the Muslims would say Jesus wept. I mean, they wanted that Bible too. I mean, everybody wanted a Bible. I mean, everybody would get up and quote a Bible verse because the Gideons were giving out free Bibles to everyone that did. And let 30 kids in your class quote a Bible verse, and you're sitting there by yourself. You're going to memorize one of those and raise your hand, because it was just something we did every morning. Every morning at school, the principal would come on the the intercom, read a verse from the Bible and say a prayer over our day at the school. That was normal. That wasn't at, that was that happened in all the schools. And then when that was over, every student stood up. We put our hand over our heart and we looked at the flag and we said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And then some teachers had the Christian flag, and then you would say, and some even had a pledge to the Bible. That was normal. That was education, and it should be education, because do your research in history or Google it. You know how the public school got started? It got started by the church. It did not get started by the government. That's why when you watch Little House on the Prairie, all of the schools are in the church, because the church provided the education for everybody. All schools started in a house of worship, and part of the literature was the Holy Bible. That's the way it was. We were not disconnected from the Bible at all. We were very connected in the Bible. As a matter of fact, our nation, the United States of America, was largely founded on the Word of God. The Bible was used as a blueprint to form our U.S. government. So much of our government, our Supreme Court Justice Building, has the picture of Moses and the Ten Commandments still on the Supreme Court Justice Building, because it was founded upon the laws of God, and Moses was the iconic figure that said, we uphold the laws of God in this nation. At the outbreak of the war between Britain and the Minutemen of the Newfoundland, they issued two things from our small little government. They issued a gun and they issued a Bible. Do your history. You know who won that war? We did. We won that war with a squirrel rifle and a Bible. We won our freedom. The Bible literally shaped every single part of our nation. Every U.S. judge had a Bible on their desk. Every officer of the law was sworn in with their hand on a Bible. Every U.S. president was sworn in with their hand not on a book of literature, but on a living book. And that is why when this nation was founded, we adopted, out of all the things we could have said, we adopted one single motto for the United States of America, which says, in God we trust. It was not a world of anarchy then. It was not a world where the same Bible that founded the school is now being outlawed at the school. The same prayer which built the school is not even allowed in a lot of schools. It wasn't the same school where you can't even say the name of Jesus. Everybody said the name of Jesus. We understood the name of Jesus because the Bible was the foundation of everything that we believed. Not only that, we had a sitting president by the name of Thomas Jefferson who wrote a book while he was in office. You know what the book was called? Read it for yourself. There's a picture of it. The Life and Morals of Jesus of Nazareth by Thomas Jefferson, the President of the United States. Because in those days, our nation was founded on those morals. One of the shifts in our culture today that I'm trying to address tonight is a shift away from the Word of God. It's not just a shift in counterculture. It's not just a shift in woke culture. It's also a shift in Christian culture, where somewhere along the way, we have gotten comfortable with diluted sermons that have almost no biblical base. Somewhere along the way, we have placated the idea that an education supersedes an anointing. somewhere along the way, we have bought into the lie that if the preacher's funny and don't go over 20 minutes, then we can tolerate him. But if he pounds the pulpit a couple of times and gets passionate and breaks a sweat and reads Tim's scripture, somehow that guy becomes boring to a lot of people really, really fast. We have drifted from the word, not just in the nation, but also in the home. We've drifted from the word, not just in the nation, but also in the church. Unfortunately, there are Christians who have never read the whole Bible through one time. Unfortunately, there are families who haven't prayed together in so many months they can't even remember it. There are families in this room that have never once anointed your children's head with oil or spoke an ironic blessing over your children as they walked out the door. These are things the Bible teaches us to do. There are families that have never had a family devotion together and just sat in the living room and talked about God or listened to a sermon together or filled their house with gospel music and turned their living room into a sanctuary, because that is what the Bible does. It is infectious. It gets inside of you and changes you and causes you to long for heaven and the presence and the goodness of God around us. There is no substitute for reading the Bible. I realize that we are more time restricted than we've ever been. Americans are some of the loneliest people in the world because we work some of the longest hours of anybody in the whole world. And that is a fact, and that is a stat, unfortunately. Our loneliness is because we hold down three or four jobs, we work all the time, we don't have the proper kind of social outlets, and because of that, we don't have time to read the Word. Well, let me tell you, if you have time for TV, you have 15 minutes to read three chapters. If you've got time to watch the news, you've got 15 minutes to read three chapters. If you've got time to scroll on social media, then you've got 15 minutes to read the chapters. If you have time to shop or binge Netflix, or if you even take out a newspaper and read it, you have got time to sit down for 15 minutes with God and say, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Let me hide it inside of my life that I will not sin against you, God. Put your word in me." We need some sword-bearing Christians, people who can not only live the word, but speak the word and declare the word and fight their spiritual battles with the word. We need some people who will return to sword bearers and sword carers and get up with the word of God in their mouth and declare it over their families. We need that again in this country, and it must be again in the church. If you believe that, give God praise in this room right now. Hallelujah.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand His kingdom around the world.